Welcome to Craft Beer Adventure Club.
Journal entry 010.
Yes. Good start. Nailed it.
Not re-recording it. Our location, Josh's apartment.
Woo!
Our adventurers today, me, Adam Fay.
And it is I, Josh Hindley.
And welcome to Craft Beer Adventure Club.
Yes, the 10th episode.
The 10th episode. It only took us like a year and a half.
And I feel that dawned on you as you were saying it.
Yeah, because like, I'm so used to 00 whatever.
Right.
1 through 9.
Because you practice in the mirror every day.
Yeah.
The 00. And now.
And that. Now that we're in the double digits,
it's all wrong.
We're legitimate.
It's all changed now.
We are legit podcasters now. We did 10 podcasts.
We can stop now. We can stop. We can actually just end this right now.
We're going to quit while we're ahead.
And we've recorded enough. It's fine. We can just stop.
Yeah. And this is our 2001 A Space Odyssey. We're done.
It's over. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about today. Today's cool because
today's a big day for us.
Today's been a brew day.
It's been a brew day.
Well, it's been a bottling day, but it's been part of the epic journey of the Citra Pale Ale that we invented and brewed, which we've been super excited about.
Very excited, especially because this is my first time ever home brewing.
Yes.
This has been Josh's, I don't know, 50th or something.
50th. Please.
Apologies for the dog sounds you're going to be hearing throughout the podcast.
The dogs are just...
Both of our dogs are here, and they like to play with each other to the tune of not quiet.
Yeah, no, they like to just bark at each other from across the room. Because we know you guys like that good professional audio, with that dog scream.
But we keep it real.
Yeah. So yeah, brew day.
Brew day. Citra Pale. When I said to Josh... When we were brewing, I said I wanted to brew a Citra Pale. He was all about it.
Mm-hmm. Citra's like, it's my favorite
hop. It's a great hop, and I love a good pale. You can drink it any time.
Mm-hmm. I've been brewing with Citra for years.
As we speak, as we record this podcast, we are sitting next to 28 32-ounce bottles and 4 12-ounce bottles of our recently bottled beer, which we just did moments ago.
It looks beautiful. I'm going to post a picture. There's nothing, for those of you, I don't know if you guys are just craft beer lovers or if you're brewers yourself, but everyone knows there's nothing better than that feeling of just staring at all those big-ass bottles sat there.
It's just the good times to be had.
And now we just wait. Couple of weeks will fly by. It'll fly by.
2-3 weeks, we're going to have a hoedown.
Tasty beverages. Yes. Tasty. I'm super excited. But in the meantime, while we cannot drink these beers, we have something.
We have one beer we're going to drink here. Super special. Which is going to be very nice.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to say what we got?
Yes. I'm excited. I had this beer once before, like a month ago, and I really, really, really enjoyed it.
I haven't had it yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's really good. I kind of, over the past few days, I've just worked my way through this family.
So. Yeah, we both had one of them, of the variants.
So some of you guys will be familiar with Epic Brewing. I'm sure a lot of you are, out of Colorado. They are so good.
They're damn good.
I'm a big fan. They have a lot of interesting beers. So it's part of the Baptist series, the Big Bad Baptist. So
Big Bad Baptist. I feel like someone we interviewed at one of the breweries mentioned Big Bad Baptist.
It was McLeod.
It was McLeod.
Jennifer from McLeod said this was a favorite.
Sounds right.
And I can see why. So there's the Big Bad Baptist, then there's the Double Barrel Baptist, which is also really nice. So, but we are on the 2017 rare release of the Triple Barrel Big Bad Baptist.
Triple Barrel.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it looks so good. It has three barrels on the label.
That's so many barrels.
That's triple the barrel.
Yeah.
It is an imperial stout. It's aged in whiskey and rum barrels with cacao nibs, barrel-aged coffee beans, and barrel-aged coconut. Everything is barrel-aged.
Coconut. Yeah, how do they barrel-age coconut?
They put it in a barrel and leave
and
it.
And just leave it. Does that do anything to the coconut?
They leave it
just
for
putting
a while.
Regular coconut in a barrel?
I imagine it's... Yeah,
it has to do something.
Yeah, yeah. It'll imbue the coconut with the flavors of whatever the barrel... Whatever
and then
the
coconut... is in the wood of the barrel.
Right. And then that will then seep into whatever the
beer
is. But I hope this batch is as good as... I imagine it could be the same batch. I hope it's as good as the one I had previously.
Yeah, we also just had the Big Bad Baptista.
Yes.
Which had like Mexican chocolate in it as another rare variant of this beer, which was... I just wanted to bake a cake with that thing. It was so good.
So yummy.
So rich.
Beer ice cream float. Just get that up in there.
I was really thinking about getting some ice cream in there, but we don't have any ice cream this time.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to, shall I do the honors, or would you like to do the honors?
I kind of want to do
it. Yeah, you do it. You do it. Pop that cap. Oh, yeah.
It's got that nice tape on top of it saying, rare release.
Yeah, makes it even more enticing. It pulls me in. I definitely, when I looked at it and when I knew very little of Epic, I was like, oh, rare release. Well, I guess I've got to spend too much money on this beer.
Equally like a fresh batch of brownies.
Mm. Oh, paws real thick. Oh, look at that.
Viscous.
Nice, nice. Yeah, slight carbonation. Oh, there it is. There it is. Mm-hmm. That lovely.
That caramel colored carbonation on top.
Oh, right.
Dark as night.
Really good. Big chocolatey foam. Great.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Look at the head. It's fantastic.
That's thick. Just such a thick chocolate, that dark chocolate flavor.
Mm-hmm. The aroma instantly.
Yeah, because usually when you get chocolate in a beer, you get more like the smell, I feel like, a lot of the times. Whereas this one, this just tastes like they melted a chocolate bar right into it, and it happens to be 12% alcohol.
Right. Is that what we're sat at with this? Is it 12%?
I assume somewhere around 12.
It's going to be, isn't it? Yeah. 11.4. 11.4%. Oh, yes. Goody, goody.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's this.
Drizzle that on pancakes.
Oh, you could. You could. It's so.
I'm just talking a lot about food. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah. We should have eaten more. It seems. Yeah, it's so thick.
We're coming off the high of bottling our beer,
right?
So we're just in a good mood.
So yeah, like tell me, let's delve into that. Let me interview you. How has the experience been so far?
My first brewing experience.
What do you thought? What were the highs? What were the lows?
Well, I don't know about highs and lows, but I mean, because I didn't know what the process was to begin with.
You've got nothing to compare it to.
Exactly. So I mean, there's a lot more manual labor, a lot more tedium involved in brewing than one would expect off the bat.
Right.
But also, it makes sense because we just brewed, what, like 6 gallons of beer?
We did.
Or
we
something. Did. So it makes sense that you put that much effort in because a lot of product is coming out of it.
People don't realize how much beer you end up with at the end.
Yeah, and this is like an average take.
This is the regular. Yeah. So kind of 5-6 gallons is your regular take.
Sure. So, I mean, it's just cool. Like, I loved the beginning part where we got all the ingredients from the brew store and we put it in the mash tun and mixing it with all the water and just the smell of all the grains filling you up, just like a deep oatmeal kind of going on.
It's such a good sensory experience. Like,
so many smells.
For all you guys out there who maybe not brewed before, just give it a go. Give it a go. It's actually really easy to brew beer. The problem is it's really difficult to brew the same beer twice.
Kudos to any brewery.
Brewing beer, you just got your grains, you're just adding your grains to water, you're extracting sugars, you're adding some bitterness to that with your hops, and then you're adding yeast and fermenting it. In a nutshell. It's easy. It's easy.
It helps that I have my beer Sherpa, Josh, here, guiding me along
you
the
up
way.
The metaphorical mountain.
I would have fucked this up hardcore if it was just me.
Yeah, I'm
not a chance in hell.
And now we just play the waiting game, I just took it away in a cupboard. I forget about it. And then I'm like, I set a reminder and I'm like, oh, yes.
Beer day.
It's beer day.
Yeah.
Then I get really drunk and then I start yelling. I start smashing stuff. Then I just drink all the beers. And then you come back and like, where are the beers? I'm like, I drank them all and fuck you. And then I'm just a nightmare. And then I get kicked out of America. And then I go back to the UK. And then
British Tuesday.
You know, just a usual brew day.
Yeah. But do you want to explain to the listeners about how things can go wrong, like with the last beer you brewed?
God, it's been a while.
Gutted you?
I was devastated. So it does even, I've been brewing for a long time, but it does still happen where you have a batch and something just goes wrong. So I must have just got some real skanky old yeast because...
Skanky yeast.
I haven't had diacetyl in a beer for a long time, and it is so depressing.
Now, what's diacetyl?
Diacetyl basically gives you kind of rough butterscotchy flavors, kind of buttery, but like popcorn flavors, kind of just manky off flavors, but it really ruins the whole balance of the beer. All beers have a little bit of diacetyl in it, and that's perfectly fine, but it can be quite nice in some beers.
This was far too much.
In just a regular IPA, it was absolutely disgusting. So for the first time in a long time, I had to dump some beer. It was sad times. Sad, sad.
Yeah,
times.
We ended up dumping a lot of that beer to use the bottles.
Luckily, we didn't have enough bottles for this beer, so it's kind of like, you know, the sacrifice. Those beers martyred themselves.
Yes.
For this.
For the good of beer kind.
Yeah, yeah, and just, you know, use, reuse, recycle.
And I'm just so excited for this. We decided to not name the beer until we drank it.
Yeah, I like the idea. I was like, so Adam, what are we gonna call it? And that was I love that you're like, you're waiting to be inspired by.
Yeah,
by
you gotta know what the beer is first.
You gotta get that. Gotta get that taste. Are you? Is it? Are your eyes gonna like just glaze over and go white, and you'll be like,
yeah, like the last Airbender when I go into spirit mode
and
or whatever,
and then just yell something, and that will be
Avatar
the name.
Avatar state. Sorry for all my nerd correctors out there.
And I'm sure. There's definitely some hey, crossover.
As a big fan of cartoons as I am, and working in the industry, I have to at least get my cartoon references correctly.
The industry, don't you say?
The.
And working in the industry.
The industry of cartoons. Of course. Don't make me sound like an asshole.
You did it. You did it yourself. It was wonderful.
Did I say the industry?
You were like,
did I say it like that, though?
Working in the industry.
I wasn't swilling my beer around with my upturned nose.
You dabbed your cigar and you popped your collar.
You can't tell, but I'm wearing a very nice tuxedo right now.
You're sat on a very high chair and I'm sat on the floor.
Yes. No, it's a gold-plated chair.
It's held...
I'd almost call it a throne.
It's held up by two people.
It's held
like,
up.
You're
yeah.
doing...
It's a palanquin.
Oh, yeah, I mean... Diving away from home brewing for just a second.
Yeah.
This... And back to Epic Brewing's triple barrel big bag.
Yes, let's rave about them and this deliciously chocolate beer.
Oh, it's just
give me that
it's great. Look at that lacing.
I need a topper.
Look at that. Look at that lacing. And that's I'm asking you, listeners, look at that lacing that you can't see at all. The lacing is beautiful.
It is quite nice.
It's just
the color of
it is great. The foam is great. The thickness, the aroma. Everything you'd expect. Coconut on the nose instantly.
Yeah.
Just boom. Did you ask for a top up and
I
ignored
did.
You? I'm so sorry. Because
you were kind of in the zone.
I was just, oh man.
Thank you.
Beer just hypnotizes me.
It does.
Staring
in the right business.
Talking about it and just looking at it. Savoring it. But oh, it's so nice. It's so nice. And we've had some other, you know, some other interesting beers today. I was basically I'm sure our listeners can understand my woes. Do you nip into your local craft beer store and you're hoping, you know, I'll pick up something I haven't had in a while. Let me just see. And then it's that
nice six pack.
It's that time of year where there's an influx of all your favorite breweries doing all their rare or limited releases and you're like, oh no. And you look to your left and you see the other guy staring at the fridges going, what
just
have we
panic,
done?
Looking at their wallets.
I'm like, oh God. Yeah. It's like, hey, calling up your accountant. I need to transfer some money from the offshore accounts. I shouldn't have came here, but now
get
that
the
I'm
Caymans
here.
Caymans on the phone.
Now that I'm here, cancel little Jimmy's tuition. I need this.
Little
so yeah.
Jimmy, no.
So,
he's going to be a veterinarian.
Let's just say I left with more rare and limited releases than I would like, but I did get a bottle of Consecration. I also got a bottle of Supplication, and this
both Russian Rivers.
Yeah, both beautiful Russian River sours, aged for beautiful amount of times in Cabernet Sauvignon barrels and Pinot Noir barrels. If you have not had them, if you don't like sours, I would recommend starting with these beers because it's a real good entry into it.
Yeah.
Into some.
I'm personally not a big sour guy, and I still enjoy it.
You liked it.
You liked it. It's not something I would buy myself, but I'm not gonna like scoff at.
I'm gonna get you there. I'm gonna keep.
Sours are a tough one for me to break into, man.
Yeah, I have to. But I wasn't a great sour lover in the early days.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. And then just so often,
none of us loved IPAs when we had our first beer.
Right. I can still remember being, you know, when did I have my first beer? Like,
I think I was
15,
I think
14?
My first taste of beer, I was like 13. It was like literally a tiny sip. I was like, that's nasty.
This is gross, yeah.
Gross. It was like a Bud Light or something.
I think, maybe I may be wrong. I'm probably wrong. I'm usually wrong. But I think every man when they're like 15 or whenever they start drinking, maybe 15, 16 when you start, oh, I suppose in the UK and in America, and I know it's much older. But I still feel like when you first start drinking beer, those very first beers, you're like, wow, this is gross. but this is what people drink, so I'm just going to keep drinking. Yeah. I'm just going to keep telling myself.
I want to drink until I feel
something.
And
then your and then your palate changes where you're like, oh, this is delicious. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a feeling that everyone's in on the big lie where it's like, wow, I don't like this at all, but everyone else is drinking it, so I guess I'm gonna do it. And I'm talking about the very early days, people. I'm not talking about, you know.
But that like, feeling turned into a $1 billion industry.
Right, right. Multi-billion.
Billions of dollar industry.
It's so nice. Like
it is. I love beer.
That's the saying earlier. Like so we was like giddy is it giddy like school children? Why are school children so giddy? But that's another
because they don't know enough about the world.
They don't know enough stuff.
They don't have taxes, they don't have to vote.
We were giddy like school children earlier, just at the beer we had, and I was just like, I really like beer. Yeah. Obviously.
And we're just looking at so much beer that we made that we are soon gonna drink a shit ton of.
This is the we'll post a picture, but it's the equivalent of like sticking it up on your fridge. We just have the beer in front of us on the table that we're recording the podcast right now, just looking.
It's the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it with pride, you know, just like like it's done something amazing. It's done nothing at all. I guess, should we just wait now? Should we just do this podcast for 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's going to be a 3-week podcast.
We'll just wait. We'll run you down day by day. Any changes?
2-minute interlude every day. It's good times.
It's going to be so
good.
Yeah,
brewing was fun.
Yeah. You like it.
I did.
So what's yeah.
Not that you were there to muscle through most of it. But
you
have all the equipment already, obviously, which is the immediate help. And you know how to pick out the recipes and
jazz. It's brewing is definitely one of those things. If it's something that you are interested in getting into,
listening, research.
Just give it, do a bit of research, but also I was going to say, I would recommend going to like a brew school and having someone teach you how to do it. Cause it's the best way to learn.
Shameless self-promotion.
But you don't have to go to a brew school, but definitely having someone show you how to brew, because if you brew with someone and the beer turns out great, you know that that way works. You're like, okay, great. I did these steps. I saw these steps.
And you can do that moving forward.
There's so much information online because you can go so in depth. You can go to onto a molecular level and be like, and when you start working in parts per billion in bloody water fucking and minerals and stuff like that, it can become an absolute nightmare. And you're like, do I need to know this right now? And no, you do not. You need to know a very base amount of knowledge. But if you know someone who can brew, there's nothing better than just getting with your buddies, having a few beers and having a fun brew day. It's such good fun.
I mean, that's the part we didn't say is that, of course, throughout the entire process of brewing, bottling, all of it, We're drinking
and hanging out.
It's just hang time with your friends, but you also are making beer.
You get beer at the end of it. Yeah. It's incredible.
That's a great pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
It really is. Look at it. Oh, God.
It's a pot of a gold nail.
Just beaming. Just beaming. Yeah, I cannot wait to crack this beer open, as you guys may have guessed. Because
pails are some of my favorite.
This is good
beers.
Audio, isn't it? This is good audio where you just gush about how much you love the beer for 15 minutes.
You can't see, smell,
or taste. You will never taste this beer, but take our word for it.
Unless you are one of our friends or loved ones who are listening to this, in which case you might get to taste it.
Yeah, maybe you will get to try it.
We may
get to try it.
Part with some for you.
Maybe.
Depending how good it is.
But like I said, if
it's really good, I'm hogging that shit.
Yeah. We're just gonna. Oh, should we label it? If we try it.
Labeling's a pain in the ass.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy. Now we just go online. Go this. I checked it out. It's the coolest.
Printalabel.com.
Yeah, print a label. Labels are us. Beer label.
Speaking of, pour one out for Toys R Us.
Oh, are they done now?
They're done.
Oh my God.
They got like, they're liquidating all the stores. They got everything must go.
That's nuts. Yeah. It's finally over.
Childhood.
That was an institution.
Remember the section with the bicycles?
Yeah.
You just go there and be like, I want to ride that bike down that,
I wanna get on
that hallway.
I'm going to. Oh, Toys R Us. So many toys.
I should have gone over there and bought
under
like
one
1,000
roof.
Video games.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they had everything. That was a good store.
End of an era.
Wow, I had no idea.
Damn you, Amazon.
I guess. There's no time for brick and mortar. No, that's taken me aback.
Scooch us to the side.
It's the perfect time because I've already had a big, lovely Russian River beer, and I'm now drinking a nearly 12% beer. So if there's ever a time to get receive bad news, it's while you're drinking
good and toasty.
Yeah, drinking a triple barrel Big Bad Baptist.
Also, can I just say Big Bad Baptist is a great name for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm a sucker for alliteration.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
Big Bad Baptist.
And the amount of time that I've definitely been describing it to people and being like, have you had the Big Bad Bastard?
Keep saying bastard.
Yeah,
that just sounds like it should be. Big Bad Bastard.
It should be. They should do another one.
Yeah.
Like a super hyped up one.
Big Bad Baptist Bastard? Bastard Baptist?
Big Bastard Baptist.
Big Bastard Baptist.
Or just Bastard Baptist.
Yeah. That one is just straight.
A
poison.
Big Bad Baptist. A bit, bit. Yeah, there's a lot of bees.
Porky Pig.
Yeah, it is a bit.
There's
a lot of bees going on in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's great. What I love about Epic is, because a lot of their beers, is the way that they're just experimenting and trying stuff. Like, taking three barrels, barrel aging everything separately, and then just mixing it all together. Yeah. It's fucking cool.
But also the fact that they just have this one beer, Big Bad Baptist.
Mm.
And they made it kind of like three or four different ways.
That's part of their exponential series. It's awesome. You know that their brewers are creative and enjoying themselves because they're taking that beer and
they got that freedom.
How can we dick around with this and like make it...
Mm-hmm. Make it
askew
or limited or... something special that's still reminiscent of the original.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I like that too.
And what we'll be doing with our Citra Pale, when we try this and we open it and we drink it and we'll be like, this is great. How can we make it better? Or what can we do differently? And then we'll just pick out a few different ingredients and we'll just keep messing with it.
Tweak it.
And then we'll just keep tweaking it. Version 1, version 2. Just keep playing around.
I will say, you were mentioning that this is the time of year when a lot of breweries come out with all their rare releases and limited releases and stuff. There's one beer that I love that I never find in stores, which maybe we can't get in Southern California, which bums me out. But it's the Lagunitas Hairy Eyeball.
Oh, it's nice.
So good.
It's really good.
I haven't had it in like 2 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
I love that beer. If you're listening, Lagunitas, or anyone who has a hookup with distribution,
guys,
hook us up, man.
We're open for trades.
We'll trade you some of our pale for some Hairy Eyeball.
craftbeerac@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I want
some Hairy Eyeball.
10 episodes in, we haven't got that fish email, but we do have the craftbeerac@gmail.com.
That's right.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Or even if you're just a liquor store or beer supplier in the area, I'll pay for it wholesale.
Drop us an email. Let us know. Let us know.
Please.
But yeah, like...
I'll use our highly extensive influence that we have here with our tens of followers.
You know what? Speaking of that, this was just meant to be like a little in-betweeny so, but I didn't realize episode 10, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. We've stuck to it and done 10 actual episodes of a podcast. So...
Which really is not a lot.
It's more than most people. I see people do start a podcast, don't stick with it, fail.
True, but we're in Los Angeles and this is the city of 1,000 podcasts.
Oh, it really is. It really is.
Which I guess that would be true. Out of the thousands of podcasts in Los Angeles, most of them will not go very far.
Let's just say, what I would like to say
or at least pass
is thank you to
anyone who's been listening.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. Yeah. It's growing. Like people, we get more and more and more listeners every podcast.
You guys like listening to our drunken dumb ramblings about beer.
I get it. I get it. We're amazing.
We're
amazing. Thank you. We are the best.
So. I appreciate it. Josh is a dick, but I
really appreciate it. It's fantastic. But I also understand it's because we're the best. So I get it. I get it. No, it's amazing. I feel happy that we reached episode 10 just because this is something I wanted to do for a long time. And to actually do it and then to have our wonderful guests And we have so many great guests lined up. It's so exciting.
Yeah,
and
now that we're getting rolling, we got breweries coming in. It's awesome.
It's some great play. We're gonna travel. We're gonna be doing some traveling. There are some exciting things bubbling.
We're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it's helpful that LA has what, like 30 breweries now, 40.
The beauty is, I'm so proud to be able, as the LA brewing scene and beyond grows, to be able to document that and really hear about these people while they're in the middle of it, while it's still happening.
Yeah, it's still
and
in
talking
infancy.
To these guys, you know, these guys, we're interviewing these guys where they have breweries opening for a year or a couple of years.
Yeah, it's
imagine
so new.
10 years from it's now, new. You know, when we have big, long beards and we've been doing this for a while because unfortunately...
that's how you look like when you do beer stuff.
You've brewed your first beer now, so unfortunately you now
have to grow
a beard.
A big ZZ Top beard.
And that's, they're the rules.
Yeah.
Them's the rules.
It's true. It's going to look real gross.
Really? Do you grow a gross beard?
I grow an okay medium.
You look like you
beard.
Can grow a beard.
Yeah, but I don't think I could do a long beard.
No? Have you never been...
It's hard to grow... Well, one, that takes years to grow a good long beard. You got to commit. You got to comb it. Condition it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to read it.
Maybe not...
bedtime stories.
I'm not... I think beard oil is a lie. I'm leaning in.
My neighbor's all about beard oil.
You know,
and he's got a good beard.
Because it makes my, I feel like it's really oily.
How much are you? Don't just put olive oil all up in your beard or whatever.
Some are, I don't know if it's olive oil based, but some are like proper.
But I mean, I imagine you use just a few drops here and there, like just to moisten it.
Maybe
you're not coating your face because one that'll mess your skin.
Maybe
up.
That's what I'm worried about. Is not well. To be
I've
honest,
never used beard
to
oil.
To be honest,
I'm, well, I know very little.
I'm never worried about my cheeks when I have a beard because it's there. You can't see them.
They're covered.
You know, they can be messed up. Who cares? The beard is hiding that. But I just this. It just feels oily. I'm more of an au naturel guy. I'll comb it. I like to keep it nice and combed. But yeah. I just, too much beard oil.
Well, now that we've brewed again, we'll see you in a few months when you've grown your brewer's beard.
Oh, of course. I fire out a beard at an alarming rate. I've been cursed with a...
Do have a very impressive beard growth rate.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Some say impressive. It is a blessing and a curse, depending on which side of the fence you are on.
Depends how much you like beards.
Yeah, I feel like Tim Allen... when he has in the Santa Claus where he tries to shave it off and you have no that's no choice.
He turns around like
it's back. Yeah, it's like that. And also my weight gain is also due to the Santa Claus as well, not due to my poor eating habits.
And drinking a lot of chocolate stouts.
It's because of the Santa Claus. It's definitely because of the Santa Claus.
I mean, chocolate stouts are like diuretics, right?
Yeah.
Like
I am now Santa. would you like we have smash through this beer as we should because it is so. Isn't it so Moorish though? Okay,
Moorish. It's a good adjective.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is. I just love because I don't drink stouts very often, but when I do, I want it to be a stout. You know, like I want to be pitch black, that
big,
caramel color
heavy,
foam,
heavy. Yeah.
I want it to be almost like a pudding.
Right. This is like a pudding. It's so much like a pudding.
It's
like with all the flavors of pudding flavors. Because it's the cocoa nibs or sorry, the cacao nibs are soaked in rum barrels. So it's like rum pudding. It's like chocolate rum pudding. It is
very good. That's why every time I have a really good stout, I love drinking it, but it just makes me want baked
pudding.
Delicious. Goodies.
I wish we had some pudding to have with this.
Me too. I did make a chocolate stout cake.
Ooh.
It was very good.
Yeah, that sounds...
It was delicious.
That sounds great. You could... This is one of those beers where I would be reluctant to bake with just because it's
this is too good.
Because it's so tasty.
I mean, you take an average stout and you put it in a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I'm sure the better the stout, the tastier the cake.
Yeah.
But I just want to drink that stout.
It really does have that.
I mean, if it wasn't a rare release,
mm-hmm.
if it was like a good stout, but I could get it year round,
then
I'd buy that and throw that in a cake. But this is a rare release. They sell this like 1-2 times a year.
And it's so.
If that.
Oh, I just love those hits. Just to describe it to you guys, it just. you really get the rum. The rum doesn't. I hate it when you age something in rum, and that's all you can taste, and it's a nightmare. The rum is so minuscule; it just gives it a nice, very small amount of bite.
Yeah.
You get instantly on the aroma. You get the cocoa and the coconut working together with a tiny bit, excuse me, of coffee aroma, and then but then all those flavors kind of pack a punch. Right, the aftertaste just lingers in that. And it's beautiful.
It's really nice.
It's so good.
Yeah, the coconut's probably my favorite, like, subtle aspect of the beer. Yeah. Obviously, the chocolate's heavy hitting.
I'm not.
But the coconut, ooh.
And it's when.
Because it's in the nose and it just mixes so well with every other smell and flavor as you're drinking it.
Hey, Josh. Josh hasn't mentioned balance in a podcast yet. Why is that? Yeah, oh, yeah. So actually, balance.
Damn it, Terry. We told you to stop interrupting.
I know, I do say balance a lot, and I'm well aware of it, but...
And head retention.
And head retention. mouth feel. We'll work our way through the buzzwords, starting with...
I do like mouth feel. There's something... so it's like moist. Mouth feel is just like an inherently gross-sounding
real
thing.
Real gross.
But it's fun to say.
It is.
Because you know it's gross-sounding.
Yeah. Oh,
God. Oh, he's spilling.
I quaffed.
See,
I quaffed.
You were swilling the beer around like a... pompous asshole.
Yeah.
And now you spilled.
I've taken the crown from you. Now I am on.
Yeah, like a cognac sniffer.
Now I am on the throne, quaffing my beer. Oh,
like,
I just.
Like Tyrion Lannister.
God.
You drink and you know things.
I'm like that one asshole at the wine tasting who's like really fucking swilling it.
And
around.
When you spit it into the bucket, it's really loud.
And he does it like a fucking viper.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
Just I know sniper it into that bucket.
You're here every week. I get it. You
can hit that from across the room.
You know nothing about wine, but you've mastered these things to make it appear that
great
you do.
Spitter.
Screw you, dude.
it's Derek.
But yeah, I mean, once again, the balance is...
Great balance.
And the reason I'm bringing up balance is because I do it all the time, but also because... The coconut, I'm not a big fan of coconut in beers. Like, the ones I've had...
Yeah, it's got to be subtle.
It can be really overpowering. I'm not a big fan of coconut flavoring in a lot of things, unless it's used sparingly. But in this, it's just...
It just works so well.
Just so good. It's like, there's that coconut, and I'm happy you came, coconut. You're invited.
Yeah.
Really nice.
You didn't crash that party, coconut.
You had an invitation.
You were the life of that party.
Mm, really, really. It's just... Oh, so good.
Ugh.
And I mean, we haven't talked about the label at all, but I mean, what's to say? It's three.
Oh, yeah, we won't go too much into it because it's a simple, kind of straightforward deal.
Yeah, fun colors. It's cool.
I can't see it. Your computer monitor is blocking my view.
Sorry. Yeah, I got a new monitor.
Got that cool home office setup.
Got a big old monitor taking up the
big
table now. Just you know, remote working. Just take up the dining up the dining room table.
Just take up half of your apartment.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Half of it's your office, half of it's beer.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so they're brewed. They're also Epic Brewing are in Utah and Denver.
Oh, okay.
Salt Lake City and Denver. I thought it was just Colorado. So
they got the Utah hookup too.
I wonder if they have a brewery there. I have
no idea. I'm sure they do if they're out there.
Yeah, interesting.
Unless it's just like a distribution thing or something.
Maybe. Oh, and it says brewed. Brewed and bottled
Denver,
by Epic Brewing
Utah.
Co. Salt Lake City, UT, which I imagine is Utah, and Denver, CO, Colorado, right?
Yeah, I imagine they have two breweries then.
That's nuts.
You'd think they'd be farther apart.
Right, that's...
They would get more, like, spread.
Because when you're looking for those distribution lines, which is why most people have
like
two
Lagunitas,
breweries.
They're in California and Chicago.
Chicago.
They got the whole United States covered with all that.
Exactly.
Chicago.
So when you try and research stuff while you're talking and you just Google completely, rather than Google Epic Brewery, I Googled distribution.
I'm glad we have that definition.
Yeah, well, for those of you who wanted to know, Utah was the... Oh, okay. So in 2013, they opened their spot in Denver, Colorado.
That's pretty recent.
I apologize at the beginning of this podcast.
That was a Denver-based.
I said Colorado. Right. I said Epic from Colorado. And then what?
Epic from Utah.
Only
featuring Colorado.
Only half correct. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. I also, in my little search that I did just right now, Epic bought Telegraph Brewing as well.
Oh yeah,
they just bought Telegraph. Just
where's
bought,
Telegraph from?
Bought them out.
I know of Telegraph, but I can't think of them off the top. Sure.
It's California.
Oh, it's California. Yeah. Is that Berkeley?
Santa Barbara.
Telegraph's famous street in Berkeley.
Ah, I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah, no, they did it last year. Everyone looks happy. I've just seen a picture. Everyone's looking real.
Way to go, Epic. Happy. Making them acquisitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, Telegraph, funnily enough, is one of the first American beers I ever had because Shannon, who I also seem to talk about every podcast, my girlfriend brought me some beers to the UK. I was like, look at these. You like craft beer. I found these beers for you. And she basically just picked a random bunch of beers from Whole Foods, which over here has...
Whole Foods, at least in California, I can't say for the rest of the country, has... really great beer selection.
It's insane. Really in the UK, good. We have Whole Foods is like what you expect Whole Foods to be. It's like they have three store. Super organic, like there's like a limited brewed by guys wearing hemp in the mountains.
Sure.
And that's all they have. And you're like, and it's gross. And you're like, no. But yeah, the beer selection in Whole Foods in Pasadena at least is
incredible. Most I don't go to Whole Foods very often, but most Whole Foods I've been to throughout California have very good beer.
Right.
Like the one in my hometown, which granted is very near Russian River, but has Pliny the Elder regularly.
Has Pliny the Elder. And just
they have it just at a grocery store. They have Pliny the Elder. Great. It's always one per person still.
That's amazing.
As Pliny always is. But the fact that that's like a regular thing that they get is pretty nuts.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, kudos to you, Whole Foods, and your beer selection.
Yeah, I mean, Telegraph are great. They do like Belgian style beers and just bigger beers and heavier beers.
Yeah,
they're really, really cool.
Speaking of other beers I was drinking lately,
right?
Along with all these Big Bad Baptists we've had on the variants, I had a couple new McKellars that I really liked.
Ooh.
They had this Hazy series I saw at a...
Hazy?
Hazy series.
Wow, that's so out of touch.
No one's doing Hazy. It's so outdated.
What a bad idea. What a bad idea.
Who would think to do
Hazy? I bet no one is buying those Hazy beers.
Yeah, it's such a dumb fad. No, just kidding.
Were they good?
One of them was pretty good. I'm blanking on the name of the first one, but the one I remember specifically was the second one, which was delicious, and I shared around with a bunch of friends. They all loved it. It was called the When Hazy Met Sally.
Ah, nice. That's cute.
It's cute.
That's cute.
Yeah.
An easy play on there. Anyone who knows McKellar will know that the two, the illustrator who, I think one of the first people to start doing that was McKellar, where they teamed up with an illustrator right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like, the illustrator who's done their cans and bottles from day one, the characters he has on all the McKellar stuff, they're called is called Harry and Sally. So,
there you go.
So not, you know, it's not really
not
a stretch.
Far stretch.
Not a stretch, but you know. That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I like that. It was very good. It was very citrusy. It was like 10% even. It was a strong IPA. It was like a double IPA, so it was stronger, but it didn't taste strong.
You know it's no longer a... You know it's officially no longer a fad and now a style when Sierra Nevada released their own Hazy IPA.
Yeah.
They
don't do anything until
Hazy little thing, and you're like, all right.
Until it's a thing.
I get it. If they've done it and Stone...
I don't get it. A good one obviously tastes good. Mm-hmm. And I know like the aesthetic of a hazy IPA looks different because it's like a cloudy, opaque IPA, which is very different for those kind of beers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get why it's popular, apart from it aesthetically looking different.
For a lot of those beers, it is purely based on the aesthetics.
Sure.
But also, when you do a beer like that, you can allow it to be, I'm doing air quotes, juicier. Which basically means if it's cloudier, you can pump a lot more hop flavor into there, a lot more, you know, you can dry hop the shit out of it. And dry hopping isn't going to add to bitterness, but it is going to add a lot more hop flavor to it.
Sure.
It's also, you know, when you do that, you risk the beer becoming cloudier. You can also...
Which now people don't care.
Yeah, some people, people cheat, people use... some people use wheat. Some people use
to make it cloudy.
Like milk powder and like with all sorts of stuff. And just to make it, because it makes it slightly thicker tasting. The cloudier is usually comes from the proteins in the beer.
Sure.
You know, when you have a wheat beer is usually always cloudy, and that's because of the proteins in that. But at the same time, if you're using a whole bunch more hops, then that can also give it a big old hop flavor.
So there you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Now you
know. If you're going to do a hazy IPA or a hazy beer in general, at least make it hazy the proper way.
Some people call them lazy IPAs.
The whole thing was that you would work to make it not hazy.
Right, that's it. We've spent so long. We touched on this. We touched on this in our podcast.
Interviewing people, we've talked about hazies just in the recent popularity.
Right. I think it was Kale. Or was it Desire?
From Iron Triangle.
They touched on it perfectly, just saying that, we spent a long time trying to make our beers clear, and now just because it's became a fad, because people are like, this is different, as happens with everything.
People like different.
You rebel against the norm.
Think different.
Think. There you go. Yeah, it's true.
Think hazy. That's the Steve Jobs of beer. Who was the first to make like a very popular hazy IPA or hazy beer?
I think it was Heady Topper by Alchemist, but Heady that's Topper. Not. They're not. They were one. That's one I think. But there was also one of
I've
those
heard that beer reference.
One of those times. One of those New England guys. Might not be there.
I mean, it's New England style, so it has to come from there.
As always.
Yeah.
Please yell at us on Twitter.
If you can tell us where it came from.
Yeah. Then
Instagram, Twitter.
Who? Yeah. In fact, I posed that question to you, listeners. What do you think was the very first hazy IPA?
Also, what was the first and or favorite hazy IPA that you have had?
Yeah, what should we be drinking?
I want to know what hazy IPAs to look out for, because there's so many now. I want some standouts.
Give me some winners.
Give me some winners.
Give us some winners. Yeah. Episode 10. Episode 10 is where you do the work. Episode
That's right.
10. You do the work now.
We know. We can just fucking coast.
We're just coasting. Expect 10 episodes of absolute bullshit, and then when you start to drop off, we'll pick it back up again, and then we'll start putting effort in.
Sounds good to me.
But for now, we're just going to play some Fortnite or
Cuphead
or Zelda, I guess.
Or whatever console we choose to use, and go from there.
Take it from there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this has been lovely. Thank you for listening to us ramble on about our various beer musings. Episode 10, I know. It's not that many, but it's still a big deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great.
It's
been great.
Obviously, these are our little rambly drunk podcasts in the middle of our interviews.
Which are still very fun.
The next podcast, which all going well, will be uploaded not this Friday, which for you guys would be... Let me look at dates.
Today is the 3rd.
Yeah, we're recording on the 3rd. This will go live on the 5th. So not Friday the 6th, but Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
spooky. I didn't know it was going to be on Friday the 13th. We could have made all sorts of creepy jokes, but we didn't. But let's just say we did. Let's just say we made all those jokes.
If we record one on the 13th, then we can do some spooky shit.
No, because you record it.
And then release it.
You pretend it's that day.
Yeah, but we're
Hey, it's Friday the 13th. We're all having a spooky day.
Yeah, but we're not good enough producers to figure that. We're not Chris Hardwick. We don't know how to do that.
We're learning.
We don't have a Katie Levine to...
We don't have a Katie Levine.
To sort everything out schedule-wise. And
we've got to do all the scheduling.
They have a company to figure
out. We've got all the scheduling. But this one will be up on the 6th. And the next one, our interview with a very special guest, which I'm very excited about.
Me too.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, judging on the interactions we've had so far, it's going to be funny and weird.
It's either going to be great or very awkward.
And that in itself
makes for great podcasts.
Will be great. I'm excited.
It's going to keep us on our toes.
I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. We have a bunch of guests lined up, and we're going to be becoming thick and fast with the interviews. You're going
to
start...
We're trying to crank them out as soon as we can.
And we'll do the best we can. Apologies. I know our scheduling isn't the best. I know sometimes we miss some dates, but we are trying.
We're working on it.
We're trying our best. We are trying our best getting these done. Obviously,
but thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
This time. And
keep
Josh and I, keep on adventuring.
Keep aren't adventuring, and keep telling your friends about our podcast because it's doing really well for us and it's growing and we're really enjoying it. So thanks for that.
What was it?
See you later.